Turn to Romans 8 with me this morning. Spoke a little bit Wednesday night about, we're in a time we've never seen before. We know what's happening. If you watch any news, you see what's going on around us. And it's never been more of a chaotic, volatile, angry. I mean, people are protesting everything. I'm surprised y'all aren't protesting. We got blue carpet. I mean, I don't know. It's just you're hearing about protest everywhere. You heard about the sign in Winston-Salem. Whether you feel this way or not, I'm just saying. I just think we're, I don't know. Just it almost amuses me. The sign in Winston-Salem that said, "Real men provide and real women accept that," or something like that. Appreciate it. And the women protesting that, saying it's a sexist sign. I mean, what happened to women wanting real men? It's not saying women aren't appreciated. It's just saying, as women, don't you appreciate when your man provides? And not just money, provides emotionally, provides giving you a hug and a listening ear. And they're protesting that. My Lord. But the reason people are so unhappy and they're so unsettled and they're so angry is because we're meant for more. And we're not complete yet. We're not filled yet. We're still lacking something. And Paul gives a great description of what it is that we're truly lacking. He talks in Romans 8 about the future kingdom of God and about what is awaiting us and about what God is doing for us. So let's start. I'm so blind when I pick these out, I got girly glasses. So that's why I didn't mean to get those. Pretty bad you pick up the wrong glasses. All right. Romans 8, we're starting with, what verse are we starting with, Brandon? 16, yes. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let's just stop right there and think about that. We are the children of God. If we let that sink in for a minute, remember what the Bible says, that we are heirs with God and we're co-heirs with Christ? Which means that all that belongs to God belongs to us. Now, we don't hear that a lot, but that's what the Bible says. If I am an inheritor of what God has for me, then I'm an inheritor of all that He has for me. And so if we're the children of God, that should give us great confidence and assurance that as His children, we're going to be taken care of. Then we're going to be victorious and we're going to be all right. Now, life stinks sometimes, and don't let nobody tell you it don't. All the yoga classes, all the positive speaking is great. But you know what? The yoga instructor also has bad days. And we have hard times. We don't like when someone we love dies. We don't like when we're sick. We don't like when we can't get around. We don't like when we lose our job. We don't like when we lose our home. We don't like when they repo the car. Things in life happen. But we are the children of God. And the status change of my of my life, the status change I put on my life doesn't affect my lineage to God. Still His. So what, this happened? God, I'm still your child. Your blood still runs through my vein. I'm still a holy nation. I'm still a royal priesthood. I'm still a peculiar person. I'm still yours. I'm still bought by the blood and covered by the blood and sealed by the blood. I'm still redeemed. No matter what the world says or what my situation says. Things change all the time. We know that. Seasons change. The midlife crisis thing, millennials, it's a real deal. Enjoy it now, because I promise you, it's a real deal. When Dave hits about 40 to 45, he'll start getting really moody, Allison. Just bear with him. It's part of going through it. Because he'll look in the mirror and say, "What happened to my muscles? And what happened to my hair? And what have I done the last 20 years? And I got maybe 20 more good years if I'm fortunate of good health. So what am I going to do?" And it's a real deal. Seasons change. We want that child. We get married and, oh, we want to start a family. And then we start a family. We're like, oh, my God, what have I done? Because they don't tell you how hard it can be. Do they, Kayla? Is she in here? They don't tell you how hard it's going to be, right? You just, oh, a baby in a carriage. And it gets to goo-goo at me and call me mommy. And I get to change his diaper and hold it. And it loves me. It'll always adore me. It'll always listen to me. I love it and I rub it all over. and I hold it, George. But man, something happens, don't it? 2, 3 years old? What? This monster, where'd it come from? This was not in the instruction manual. But yet we're stuck with it. So we got to raise it and do the very best we can through the process. Things in life are challenging and they're difficult. And you know why kids are rebellious? Sin and the fallen state we live in. You know why we're rebellious? Sin and the fallen state we live in. You know why creation's all messed up? Sin and the fallen state we live in. And so Paul talks directly to this of what's going to happen. Verse 17. If we're children, then we're heirs to God, joint heirs with Christ. So be that we are suffering with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are going, just as we're suffering now, we also have the second half of the story of being glorified with him. Just as we're going through things here on the earth that's really real, so too will we inherit the glory God has waiting on us. That is on the way for God's people. Verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. The order of life is waiting for that birth, waiting for that breakthrough, because we know things aren't as they're supposed to be. I said Wednesday night, whether you like it or whether you don't, whether you voted or whether you don't, Donald Trump is in office because God ordained it. Period. It also tells me of the signs and the times we are in. He should not be president. I said this Wednesday night. By all accounts, he should not have ever even gotten close to being president. He had no background. He had no experience. But yet, there he is in the Oval Office. When everybody said Hillary's got it bought and paid for, I said that. It's bought and paid for. It's a done deal. God says, just wait a minute. Don't think you know my mind and my plans. And we hate them or we love them. I'm going to tell you this. It's part of God's plan. God's plan. The powers to be are ordained by God. No matter which side you're on, the last 8 years we had President Obama, that also was ordained by God to be such as it was. And we learn to recognize that everything fits into God's plan, not our little bubble. So don't get mad when your guy don't get elected. Don't get mad when things change. Look, everything for us as Christians is working as part of a plan of God. God's not caught off by the chaos. God's not caught off guard by all the anger and all the outrage and all the protests and all the looting and all. He's not at all caught off by that because it's all part of God's plan. For those that say, and I've said it, how much longer is God going to allow things to continue? How much longer could God possibly, as long as it's part of his plan? That's how long. As long as it's part of his plan, because people aren't overtaking God, and God's not being silent right now. I promise you, God is not standing in a corner ignoring what's happening. Everything happening is positioning a step forward to the fulfillment of the realization of the sons and daughters of God coming into their own as God called them to be. It's going to happen. Nothing can compare right now to what God's got waiting on us. Verse 20. Verse 21. Because the Creator himself, the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. There's a groaning going on. There's a tribulation happening. That's why there's always, here's why your money can never make you happy. I know we say it, oh boy, if I had money, I'd be happy. And I'm not saying money don't make you happier. But I know being poor and broke ain't no fun. I get it. But being rich don't guarantee joy either. Money cannot feel what's missing here. Possessions and cars and houses and lands, activities and going places. We can see the world, and that's wonderful. But we're still empty. Remember what Solomon said, I've built all of this, and I built my gardens and my temples and my palaces and all of this, and as I look at what I have done, it is all vanity. What does it really fulfill? Because when I die, guess what? It stays here. So what's next? That's why that song, I'm Kind of Homesick, or that song, Beulah Land, or those songs that remind us, those songs, I've never been this homesick before. There's an inner desire in all of us to walk in more than what we have, and nothing fulfills us but God. And the world is groaning, and they're in pain, and they're travailing, even Christians. Why do you think Christians? I'm going to tell you something. There are as many Christians on medication as there are non-Christians. Medication for depression, medication for discouragement, medication for anxiety, medication. You know why? Because we're in a troubled world. And we're seeking solace. We're seeking peace. We're seeking joy. We're seeking something that we just can't get from the world. No matter how much we eat of it, we're still empty. No matter how much we drink, we're still dry. No matter how much we try to fix things, we're still broken. Because we were created for more than this. The Bible says we are pilgrims and we are strangers traveling through. This is just a traveling. This is not our final destination. It's not our final stop. God has greater plans for us than what we have right now. And the world is groaning. They're travailing. They're in agony because they're waiting on things to be in order. What does every Miss America pageant person say? I want peace for the world. You know what? There will be no peace in the world until the kingdom is established. But you know what? We do long for peace. Oh, we long for peace. Insomnia is at an all-time high. Prescription medication for sleeping disorders is at an all-time high because people can't go to sleep at night. Because people's minds are racing with all the troubles and all the problems. Not Melanie. She can go out on anything. I'm telling you. I told you when the cruise ship was sinking, she was eating her dessert. She could care less. If I'm going down, I'm going down with my dessert. That's all I'm saying. But for most people, other than Melanie, we get things in our minds. Things begin to race. We think about our mistakes of yesterday. We think about how to fix tomorrow. We worry about what's going to happen in the future. And all of that just troubles us. But the ones that's gone on ahead of us, they're not troubled anymore. They have received an inheritance that 1 Peter says that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for them in heaven. They have walked in that. They have laid this life down, and they are now walking in the fullness of God. That's our destination as well for those of us that are in Christ. This world isn't satisfied. Money, jobs, possessions, relationships, there's still that one thing missing because we were created to do more. No matter how successful we become, we will never be satisfied. Not only they, verse 23, not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoptions and the redemption of our body. Go back to Genesis 1, where God said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. Man was created with full authority, with no sickness, with no disease, and was meant to live forever. Forever, church. What Jesus did at Calvary was more than an Easter story or a good Christian song. What he did at Calvary was reverse that and remove that which kept us from walking like Adam and restore that. As by one man sin entered the world, so by one man has grace, has redemption, has mercy also entered the world. Jesus reversed the curse. He reversed what we were. Though our bodies are still frail because we're still in them, church, we have spiritually been redeemed, and that curse has been broken, and that hope awaits us, and that future is ours because of what Jesus did. And one day these bodies will catch up and we will be glorified and our bodies will once again not have sickness and not have disease. It is a pattern from about 40 years old on, you begin to see differences in your body. I mean, that's an average. For some of you, it may be earlier, younger, or older, but you start seeing differences. Most people's nearsightedness starts being affected at 40 years old or older. They start can't see close up. For most people, they start losing that. We start walking slower. We start having our bones crack and our knees snap. We sound like Rice Krispies walking around. You know, things change. Believe it or not, I had a head full of hair at one time. It was pretty. And I don't have that anymore. As time marches forward, our bodies just begin to change. We used to never could gain weight, right? Remember, you're 20 years old. I eat like a horse, don't gain a pound. Now you look at something, you gain 30. Just look at it. Ooh, there it is. Your metabolism slows. Everything changes. Your mood, everything changes. But one day, the Bible tells us our bodies will be restored. And there'll be no more weakness and no more sickness and not an ounce of pain in our bodies. We were created for that glory in the very beginning when Adam was created and God said, have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field and every creeping thing. Have dominion, have power, have authority. That's our future, church. We are going, the children of God are going to be changed, and we are going to walk again in the garden like we were meant to walk, in full power, full strength, and full authority. And death will have no more dominion ever again over our lives. That's our future as Christians. That's the hope Christ brought at Calvary. Thank God for that. And that should encourage all of us. That's why I say stay tuned. There's more to come. This isn't it. What verse am I on? 24. For we are, go to verse 25. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Yeah, we wait for it. We have to wait for it. And while we're waiting, what do? We serve God. While we're waiting, we trust God. While we're waiting, we praise God. While we're waiting, we rely on God. Because it will come to pass. In due season and in due time, we wait. And that word wait is more than just wait. It's expectantly waiting. It's eagerly waiting. It's waiting with an expectation it's going to happen. That our ticket's going to be scratched off, for those of you in your lingo. The eight ball is going to, whatever, Kyle, I don't know. It's going to be scratched off and you're going to get what you'll get. You're going to win the prize. That's why Paul says, I keep my eyes on the prize, pressing toward the mark. Paul knew there was a finish line, and this wasn't it. Don't give up hope because your life's not good right now. Everything is part of God's plan for our lives, and I don't understand it all. I can't explain it all, and don't ask me, God, Pastor, why did God do this, or why did this happen, or why did God allow that, or why am I going through this? Because I can't answer any of those questions. All I know is this. As a Christian, I'm a firm believer what God's Word says. We're His children. Just as our children don't understand sometimes the things we do as parents, we don't understand what God allows or what God does. And we may question God, why? But God's got a plan that's bigger than ours. And the plan God has is the right plan, and it's the best plan for our lives. All right, 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been in such despair, such a low place, you could not intellectually pray? Didn't know how to pray. Didn't know what to say. You're so broken. You're so lost. You're so low. You're so down that you don't even know how to pray. You can't pray one of those pretty church prayers. Oh, Father, thou God in heaven who sits on the Most High. I pray you ascend down and swoop your breath of presence upon my heart and change it and let it beat once again with life full of vigor and passion and power. We don't always pray that way, do we? Sometimes we are like this. God, here's what I need. Well, God, I'm going to shut up, God, and let you just handle it. And then we begin to let the Spirit inside of us intercede and pray. And groanings begin to arise from the Spirit of God praying for things we don't even know we need praying for. The Spirit of God breaks things inside of us. It heals scars that are so deep that man can't touch. Psychics and counselors and psychologists can't mend. But the Holy Spirit can go deep inside and do a work that no man can do. And there's times we just are silent and let the Spirit pray through us and we just shut up. And God begins to do something. I've told you many times, there's times I've been here and I've come to the altar and I've knelt down over here during the week or whatever. And there's times I'll just be in here. I'm glad Mel is not here because, you know, I'm a man. But there's times I'll be over here and I'll just start crying. I mean, I'll just feel something come on me and I begin to weep and I hadn't said a word. I just begin to cry. And it begins to come out of me crying. I mean, it's the crying when you're doing this with your shoulders. You know, you're like heaving. And I'm just crying. And I'm like, why am I crying? I mean, what come over me? And I realize the Spirit of God inside of me is doing a work that I need. Because words can express what my heart is bearing. And so God just goes in and fixes it. The Bible said earlier, if you were in that chapter, that we have the first fruits of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. That's our down payment. That's to affirm and to show us we're His. We don't walk in the fullness of it. We don't walk in the fullness of it yet because we're not being redeemed fully. But that Holy Spirit is a down payment to guarantee us, to seal us into our inheritance, and to remind us that we belong to Him. I'm yours, God. I've got your Holy Spirit, and I'm yours. I know that, and I'm thankful for that. But sometimes we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit does. So it groans for us and it intercedes for us. Verse 28. I think about Don with this verse. And this is Don's key verse. We know that all things. Everybody say all things. This means the bad things, the defeats, the deaths, the job loss, the loss of possessions, the anxiety, the panic attacks. All things that happen to us. We can't pick and choose what this verse means. Well, yeah, that means, Pastor, all things work, you know, the things that are supposed to work out, or the good things, or the things that I think God is trying to show me. No, all things. I was over here this morning thinking about how my life's changed in 15 years. Well, 15 years of ministry in July. Huh? Be 15 years of ministry in July, be our first service. And I was over here thinking, I sat on the altar this morning, I got thinking how much my life has changed in 15 years. I mean, 15 years ago, Ashley was barely born. My son was 7, and my daughter was 7, Christian, and Jamie was 5. I mean, he was like in kindergarten. Christian was in like second grade. I had darker hair. And I begin to think how much in 15 years of ministry, what has changed. And I'm going to tell you something. I've not liked the whole 15 years. I ain't going to lie to you. There have been a lot of stuff in 15 years in our lives that haven't been good. We've had a lot of trouble, a lot of tribulation, a lot of stress, a lot of trying times. We've had times where I questioned God, times when I praised God. There were times I was so on fire and God could do anything, and then sometimes there was like, God, are you doing anything? 15 years, a lot in my life has transpired, a lot. 15 years ago, I would have been considered a millennial. Barely. And so I sit here and I think, God, how's the last 15 years worked out good for me? How has all the trouble I've been through and the trials I've been through and the things I've suffered, the things my wife has went through, the things my children have went through, how is all that part of your plan? As Melanie says sometimes, God, you got some splaining to do. Don't we all feel that way? God, you got some splaining to do because I don't get it. And I'm reminded of the story of where the rich ruler, Jesus went to the rich ruler, and he said, Jesus, how can I be saved? And remember what he said? He says, keep the commandments. Well, I've kept the commandments. That's me and Mally, right? Lord, I've kept the commandments. I've been good. God, I sacrificed my job. And Lord, we started church. And, you know, we would have qualified for welfare 15 years ago, but we didn't. But we could have, but we didn't. And I'm like, you know, all this has happened, and I've kept the commandments, Lord. We've served you. We've given our tithes. We've been at church every Sunday 3 times a week for 15 years. We've done this, and we've been there for everybody else. Lord, we don't cuss. We don't smoke. We don't drink. We don't gamble. God, we've kept. We don't fornicate. We don't commit adultery. We have kept your commandments. So, God, you got some explaining to do. Because why am I going through this? And I'm kind of reminded that, you know what? The grace of God has kept me and Melly through all of that and sustained us through every step. And we have learned to trust in God, or I can't speak for Melanie, to trust in God and lean on Him more intimately than ever before. Because when things are going good, man, when you roll in bank and got things right, God sometimes the last thing on your mind. But when you are so desperate for healing, you're so desperate for deliverance, you're so desperate for peace, He is the only one that we can turn to that we have a chance of getting it. So what do we do in those low times? We seek a high God. In those times we have no strength, we lean on God. No hope, lean on God. No power, lean on God. No joy, lean on God. And through that, we see the hand of God lift us out of our miry clay and set us back on a rock and remind us, I am your God. I go before thee. I go with thee. I live in thee. And you are mine, and you always will be. Gives us confidence and hope in Him. So yes, we don't like the bad things. But I do believe that everything that's in my life has been by the hand of God. From the day I went to Food Line at 17 years old and applied for Bag Boy. That was a God-ordained moment. I went from $4 an hour as a bag boy to a store manager in the same company. That was a divine moment. It wasn't at 17 just a part-time, oh, I just need some gas money. God took that and built a destiny for me out of that. It was no accident I went to Walmart. That was God ordained too, because in this place now we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that I worked with at Walmart. It's amazing. I always make fun that Walmart birthed the ministry. Because I go to the store and they be saying, when you go preach, when you go preach. We had that service and they came and, man, I mean, wow. Amazing. Everything has been by the hand of God. So when we realize that the things we go through that are bad also are a plan of God, and not always just look at it as, well, God ain't listening, God ain't working, or even give the devil credit. Boy, the devil's fighting me hard. Oh, boy, the devil's fighting me. Maybe God is positioning us or trying to teach us something or let us hear something that we wouldn't hear if we weren't in that situation. Because I know we hear a lot of motivational speaking, and nothing wrong with that. I believe in that. I believe in speaking positive, and I believe in being happy, and I believe in smiling, and I believe in laughter, and I believe in, you know, everything's good. I believe in all that. But the same token, life isn't always a smile. I have buried in many, many people that I love through the years, especially as a minister. Many sheep, many people in my life that were good, Holy Ghost-filled children of God who went on. How can that be the plan of God? Would any of you really, in your heart right now, in your heart, bring any of your loved ones back to this from where they are now? If you love them, you wouldn't, would you? I know we miss them. I miss my grandpa. I'd love to see my grandpa again. Been a long time. But man, I wouldn't want him back in this for nothing. Because he's walking in a glory that he was waiting on. He was waiting on that glory. He was expecting that glory. He believed in that glory. And now he's part of that glory. All part of God's plan. Everything is part of God's plan. Everything, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God. Trials and tribulations we don't like, but they're leading to something good, and they're leading to something better. He goes on to talk more about the kingdom. Verse 31, let's skip down a little bit for time's sake. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, and Paul was talking specifically here to the Romans because the Romans were putting a defiance up at the Christian church, and he's saying if we get an army of people together to follow Christ, the army of Rome and the governor of Rome is going to put a lot of pressure, and they're bigger than we are. And he's saying, but if God's over us, guess what? He's over them. And so if God is on our side, guess what? There is nothing that can come against us to destroy us or take us out of what God has planned for us. If we're part of God's plan, church, there ain't nothing going to change it. Do you hear me? Nothing is going to change the plan that God has for you. No disruption, no interruption, no distraction. Nothing is going to change the plan that God has for you. Because I believe the plan of God is sealed into our lives, and we will see it. We don't understand all parts of the plan, but the ultimate plan is this: I will inherit and walk into a kingdom that this world doesn't see or doesn't understand. I'm created for more. Church, we weren't created to walk in pain every day and live in pain every day, live in stress every day and turmoil every day and uncertainty and fear. That's not what we were created for. That's the world we live in, yes, but we were created for so much more. Look at verse 32. I love this. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? This is specifically talking about Jesus gave us the birth of salvation. But it's more than that. If we believe he died for our salvation, we must also believe that the eternal kingdom is also ours. It don't just stop at the cross. It didn't just stop, okay, I did it, you're forgiven, but there's more. If he died to our salvation, he'll give us all things, the kingdom, joy, peace, power, healing, authority. All that's going to be restored. All that's coming back. All of that he gave us. All of that we've got to believe is ours. In a world that doesn't believe, in a world that believes there's a God, in a world that believes there's heaven or hell, in a world that denies anything after this, you just sleep, you're just dead, you just rot, whatever they believe in the grave. We have a hope that tells us, no, I've got a soul, and this soul is going to go on, and this soul is going to inherit health and authority and peace and joy. Think about how it must have been for man before the fallen state. How it must have been to have eternal life with no pain and no sickness and no sorrow. Even being married was a joy. Can I get an amen? I mean, think about that. I mean, everything, you know why? Everything was in order. Now things are out of order. And when things are out of order, nothing makes sense. But God's going to restore order. It won't be President Trump that restores order. It'll be God that restores order. Who shall lay anything to the change of God's, to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I love this. You know what this is saying? Don't let nobody tell you who you are. Don't let nobody hold your past or your sins against you, because they can't. God's the one that justified. God's the one that changed you. God's the one that died for you. God's the one that's forgiven you. So many people are bound to other people because of what they say. Well, I know you're not saved because you do this. I know you're not. Who? You don't know nothing. Mind your business. I know who justified me, and it wasn't you, Mr. Holy Roller. It was God that justified me. It was the Lamb of God that carried a cross up a hill and bore my sins and my sickness and my sorrow and my pain. He was like a sheep led to the slaughter, yet he didn't open his mouth. That's who died for me. And when I gave my heart to him and he forgave me, there's nobody can put me back in that hell of condemnation. Nobody can hold nothing against me. I don't care what anybody says, any preacher says, I know I'm saved by the grace of Jesus. And that gives us power to walk in that salvation with authority, knowing we are the children of God. You ever been around those folks that when you're around certain people, you start feeling kind of bad again? Because you think they're holier than you? And they're looking at you with one eye like this? Looking at how you dressed? Look at your hair? Look at your earring? Look at your tattoo like this? Chuck up there at that tattoo on his arm playing in church. Old heathen. I just want you to think about this. Church, if a tattoo on Chuck's arm sends him to hell, we are all going south. I'm just saying, all of us is going south. You're welcome. It's amazing how we let people lay a charge against us. You didn't die for Chuck. Most of you wouldn't buy him a burger. Much less die for him. I mean, think about this. Jesus died. He justified me, so I no longer have to be bound by what man brings against me or what the devil brings against me. That's a big one right there, isn't it? Don't the devil always talk to you? How do you know you're saved? How do you know there's a heaven? How do you really know you're going to go see Jesus? How can you really take confidence? Because I know what you've done. I was there and I watched you, everything you did. I know you did, devil. So did God. But I know I'm justified. Justified means that I'm declared righteous in the eyes of God. That's powerful. Next verse. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation do it? No. Church, we don't like tribulation. But it doesn't mean we're separated from God, and it always doesn't mean we're in sin. Well, they're going through all that because they're in sin. That's a disgrace to people. I mean, I've heard preachers say, well, if they had more faith, they'd have been healed. If they'd been doing this, I know good, godly men and women who kept God's word and who lived the best they could in the earth, who died of sickness and died in pain, some of them. I mean, what a foolish statement to say. Boy, they're going through all that tribulation, man. They must be sinning in our house. Church, there's sin in all of our houses. Remember what Jesus said? You without sin cast the first stone. Would any of you with a clear heart? I mean, could you really get up here and throw a stone at somebody? I'll pull Margo up here and say, Margo, you don't have no sin. You're all that. Then you throw a rock at somebody right now. She'd be like, mm-mm. We all have it. Tribulation. Remember Job? My God, Job was a righteous man, a godly man. Bless his heart, lost his family, lost his crops, lost his money, lost his health. What did he do to deserve that? Wasn't sin. I'm not saying we don't reap what we sow, yes. But for everybody to say, well, tribulation and trials come, just get right with God. Let me tell you something. How much more right can we get with God than being covered with the blood of Jesus? How much more right can we get? People say that. Get right, get right. If I'm a Christian, yes, I still fail. But church, I can't get no more right than what I am in Christ. If I try to get more right outside of Christ, I'm back in me. I'm back in works. And we know works, no man sees God through the flesh, the deeds of the flesh. Tribulation can't separate me. Can distress, can persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Next verse. It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. Tribulation does not mean we are defeated. Peril does not mean we are defeated. The sword does not mean we are defeated. It is called life. But we know there is more to come. And we journey and we walk and we press through till one day the trumpet is going to sound.
and those that are his shall be changed. The Bible says those that remain shall be changed. We shall see God. No one knows the day. No one. People made prophecies for all these years about when the day. Nobody knows that. But it will come. As sure as Christ came, as prophesied, so this shall come. They prophesied Christ hundreds of years before it happened, and it happened. So too shall this come to pass. Next verse. I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall separate me, Brennan. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate me from the love of God. This gives us hope, church. Nothing is going to disrupt the plan God has. We may not understand it. We may try to fill in the blanks, but nothing's going to change it. Death, life, angels, principality, powers of the air. Nothing is going to separate me from my God, because he called me, he justified me, he glorified me, he sanctified me. I am his, he is mine. I've been bought with the price, the Bible says, and I am his. I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, and nothing the devil does can stop what God's got coming. Nothing. The world says, where is God? Just wait. Just wait. God's been silent. He's so not silent. Everything is working according to his plan, not ours. Be encouraged. Don't get distracted by the chaos. Don't think that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Everything is part of the plan of God. We don't like what's happening in our world. We don't like the chaos, or we shouldn't like it. We don't like the disruption. We don't like what we're seeing. But God knows what he's doing. And nothing's going to separate us from God. Nothing. The world is groaning and travailing for a birth. That's why folks begin to get really homesick as they get older. When you're young, you don't think about it as much because you've got your whole life ahead of you. But as you get older, you begin to think about what is the next step, what is to come. What's that glory that I've heard about all my life? What's that glory I've read about all my life? Because when God's people take charge of the earth again, everything's changed. When God's authority is placed on the earth again, everything will be back in order the way it was meant to be. There won't be all this. Even creation, church, is disrupted. Tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, mudslides. I mean, all the disasters we see, flooding, all the things we see is not because of Mother Nature necessarily. It's a result of the fallen state of humanity. Read Genesis. It talks about even creation was affected by the fallen state. Everything's out of order. But God's going to soon bring it into order. And church, we are closer than we've ever been before to walking into what God has planned. The times are showing it. The seasons are showing it. You stay tuned and be aware there's more to come for God's people. We weren't meant to bear all of this. We were created, as Genesis 1 says, in the likeness and the image of God. How far we have come. We have been defined by sin because of the mark of sin in our lives. But thank God we are refined by his grace. We are no longer, I like what Shirley Sine says at the road. It says, you're not defined by your mistakes, right? You are not defined by your mistakes. Aren't you glad that we're not defined in God's eyes by our mistakes? But we've been refined. The potters took this clay that was broken and moldy and unusable, and he didn't just throw me away. He didn't throw David's clay away and say, I'm going to create a new David. He took the same David, the same clay, and just reshaped it and remolded it and reused it and breathed a new life into it. He doesn't discard us. He refines us. He changes us. And I am so thankful for that. Marjorie, come on up if you would. I want to encourage you. The world is full of tribulation right now, but all of this is part of the plan of God. And you hold on, and you be encouraged, for our end of the story has already been written. We win, church. Joe Brown, we win. The devil cannot. I want to tell you this, too, for all of you that just don't understand how secure salvation is through Christ. The devil can't just open the book of life and rub your name out of it because he wants to. The devil can't just take that out. The devil has no power over your soul once your soul belongs to Christ. You give your heart to him. The Bible says, no man can pluck you out of my hand. I've got you. There's security in knowing our future is going to be all right. So I'll go through storms here. I'll go through tribulations. I'll go through trials. And try to recognize in the midst of those storms, God's got a greater plan working on the horizon for my life. Let's go trust him with it. I'm going to trust him with it. Things don't always go as planned. No matter what comes our way, we know who holds tomorrow. And that's what counts. The grace of Jesus that saved you is the same grace of Jesus that keeps you, sustains you, strengthens you, and helps you. Hold on to that. Go ahead and sing whatever you're playing there, Marjorie. Just roll for a minute.
Know that you were born.
Sure. I believe in the Word of God and all that's in it. I believe it's truth. Church, I'm at a point in my life that I stake my life. God, this is all I've got. So I believe in you. I'm believing you that this is it. If I went to the grave today, I go to the grave believing this is it. I go to the grave believing, God, that I am resurrected in you. I believe, Lord, as I go to the grave, that this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruptible will put on incorruption. I believe, God, what your word says, that through you I have already defeated death, already defeated hell and the grave. That the devil has no power over my soul because my soul belongs to the Lord. If your soul belongs to Jesus, church, you are secure in his hands. No matter what the devil lies, no matter what the devil whispers, no matter what the devil says, it is not true. He is the father of lies, the truth he can't tell. I want to pray with the congregation this morning for those of you that you don't know where your next step really is. You're going through life right now. You're troubled. You're struggling. You're uncertain. Maybe you feel distant from God. You've lost a connection somewhere along the line, or maybe you never had a connection. Maybe you're one of those that think life's just what it is. That I live, I'm born, I live, I die, and that's it. But God has something better for you, something more for you. Creation is groaning for the sons of God to come forth. And they will, and they are going to come forth. The order of things is going to be reversed.
The world is going to be stabilized by the presence of God. The throne will be filled by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will be head over the new order called the Kingdom of God. And if you want to be a part of that, it is you simply saying, Jesus, I know I need you. I need you to come into my life, into my heart. I need you as my Lord and my Savior. God, I want to be a part of that kingdom. I want to be a part of that new order. I want to be a part. I want to be one of those sons or daughters that come forth in due season. I want to be that. I'm tired of struggling with uncertainty and not knowing who I am, not knowing where I fit or where I belong. I want to know who I am in you, God. I want to know I'm yours. For the hearts in here today, Lord, I pray that they will hear your voice, be drawn by your Spirit, and know your hand of mercy. And know, God, that you want to reach inside of them and give them a new life and a new birth. That you want to resurrect them from the dead. That they are lost, but you want to find them. That they're in darkness, but you're shining your light. That they're far away, God, but you want to bring them near. Speak to hearts in here today and cover them with your mercy and your love. Let them hear your voice calling them home, saying, son, daughter, you're mine. The world can't have you. The devil can't keep you. You are mine. Let them hear your voice today, Jesus. And let them call upon you to be their Lord and be their Savior. They will be changed forevermore. There is more to come, God, than what we have now. And I'm so thankful I am going to be a part of the new kingdom. I'm going to be a part of it. My children are going to be a part of it. My seed is going to be a part of it. And I am thankful, Lord, that there's a promised land flowing with milk and honey that you have already prepared for your people. Thank you, Father, for giving us that hope and assurance and that promise. And we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing that chorus.